And that's sports. I'm Bobby Ryder.
AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
Right. I'm sorry. I was just deep in conversation with Dr. Dean there, and I wasn't even on the air. So,
pardon the whole show.
The whole show? No. Dr. Dean Baird, of course, joining us every Monday about this time. Good morning, Dr. Dean.
Like Jim Stafford said, take a trip and never leave the farm.
That's it. That's what I did right there. Dr. Dean is from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, where they are the sponsors of this portion of our program, and we'll tell you how to get in touch with them at the end of the conversation here. Well, it's dog week this week, right? Okay, we're alternating cats and dogs.
It's cat week.
See, I had you there.
No,
you were
just sitting here with
me.
Amazing that I just got through telling you that it was cat week and you tried to pull it again. You're going to have to help me, Alec.
What you got in this coffee over there? I want some of that.
I don't know. I'm not sure I do. It is cat week this week.
That's right. There is no nip in my coffee.
Meaning that we are doing a alternating cat topic, dog topic thing for a while, I guess, for however long we decide to do that, right? That's how we normally do this.
Yeah, right. Quick question. Is it pretty much 50-50 in terms of ownership of one pet versus the other in terms of...
Talking about population of pets?
The ones that come to you that you see generally.
No, it's higher dog.
Is it really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what the actual statistics are for the amount of cats that are pets in the United States versus the amount of dogs that are pets.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cats don't complain as much as dogs is what I'm hearing. You know?
Now you're hearing that from your cats?
Well, you know.
You've got a different set of cats than I do. I might have to pursue this a little further, Ellie.
Yeah. I'll be bringing them in soon, I'm sure.
But the population, the percentage-wise that we see of patients is higher dogs.
Okay.
Patients.
Just curious.
That's an interesting question. So, yes. It's cats this week, feline.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about, this is an interesting disease, a disease that is infectious but not contagious and deadly but almost impossible to difficult to diagnose because it doesn't have a specific diagnostic test. That sounds pretty scary, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
It's a little worrisome.
Can make it a little bit, you know, that was my fault about it being wordsome.
Worrisome.
Oh, worry, yeah, because, very worrisome.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like, it's really worrisome.
Yeah, whenever you can't tell something's wrong and then they just...
Well, it's not that you can't tell something's wrong. You can tell something's wrong. There's not a definitive diagnostic laboratory test for it, is what I was getting at.
Okay. Doctor, what is the disease?
Yeah, it's kind of one of them deals where the cat looks at you and say, I'm going to make you look like a fool and there's nothing you can do about it.
Wow.
He's just acting funny. It's a cat.
It's a cat, right?
Yeah.
Plus, it's a coronavirus to make it even more complicated. And I want to get that part out of the way first to point out this is not the same coronavirus
right. That
causes COVID-19. There are multiple coronaviruses.
Right.
SARS-CoV-2 is the one that causes coronavirus that we have now.
Yeah. We've had coronavirus problems in animals for years before this thing ever came up. So the name of the disease is feline infectious peritonitis.
Hmm.
Okay, Carl, what's peritonitis?
Peritonitis? I had it. It's where part of your gut splits open.
And what happens after that?
It can go septic real
quickly. Yeah, you get infected.
Yes.
The abdomen gets infected.
Yes.
Because it's referring to the peritonitis means inflammation of the peritoneum,
yeah,
which is the lining of the abdomen. So if you do surgery and you cut through the skin and the muscle, the last layer you cut through before you get in the abdomen is called the peritoneum. It's a really thin, glistening,
membranous
type thing that has a lot of nerve ends in. It's really painful if you get peritonitis, which you can attest to that.
I can attest to that.
So in this particular disease, which I said is a coronavirus, what happens is there is a coronavirus in cats called feline enteric meaning intestinal coronavirus. And there are coronaviruses in most species of animals, actually, not just cats.
Mm-hmm.
This one usually causes diarrhea. It happens to be a problem that's real common with the enteric coronavirus, in younger cats.
Okay.
And ends up being self-limiting most of the time, meaning they recover from it and move on.
Okay.
But in some cats, the virus mutates.
Mm-hmm.
And we know if you pay attention to what goes on in human medicine, you know that usually when you hear about a virus mutating, that's not a good thing.
Yeah,
because it ends up being a virus that's causing some other difficulty that it didn't used to cause, and the physicians and the medical world are wondering how they respond to it and what they do about it.
Right.
And the same thing happens with us. Now, this
in
is not
veterinary
new.
Field.
This has been going on for a while. This is not a new virus. It's not a new disease.
Right.
But the physiology of what happens is that the enteric coronavirus, which is usually not all that bad of a thing for cats to get,
okay,
mutates, and you get this other form of the virus that causes a different clinical syndrome, then it's really serious.
Sure.
So the reason it's difficult to get a diagnosis laboratory-wise is there certainly is a test for feline enteric coronavirus, but there's not a test that's dependable for identifying a mutated form of that, which causes the disease that we're talking about today.
The problem, yeah.
So what is the problem? Meaning, when you get the disease or the cat gets the disease, what do they have? And it depends. There's two forms of this disease. There's a wet form, like wet as in opposed to dry, and the other form is dry. Now, that doesn't sound very scientific, but let me explain why they're named that. The wet form of feline infectious peritonitis, or we'll just call it FIP because that's easier.
Okay, yeah.
Usually means that there is fluid accumulation, in a body cavity of the cat, most frequently in the abdomen, but it can occur in the chest, and it can occur in both.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens physiologically is that the macrophages, which are structures that are in the body to fight off disease, or one of the types, form pyogranulomas, and those pyogranulomas are hard for the body to deal with, and they localize somewhere in the body and then start a really bad inflammatory process.
Wow.
Excuse me. If that happens in the abdomen or the chest and it forms fluid, then you get this effusive form or the wet form, and you get a huge amount of fluid accumulation in the body cavities. And I'm sure y'all remember when we were talking about breathing problems in cats and dogs, that one of the things we talked about was if you get fluid in the chest, they can't breathe because they can't expand their lungs. So you got that to deal with. It's probably really more common that you get fluid in the abdomen, and those cats' abdomen can get huge just because you get fluid, more and more and more and more fluid. You can remove the fluid, but it doesn't stop the process that's going on in the body with them having this infection. And there is not an effective, at least at this point, consistently effective treatment for this disease of either form.
Wow.
Either the dry or the effusive or wet form.
It would require an antiviral, is that right?
It would require an antiviral, and there are some antiviral medications in veterinary medicine, just like there are in human medicine, but as opposed to, for example, antibiotics, even though that's not as easy as it used to be. And what I mean by that is, back in the 30s, penicillin killed everything. Well, it doesn't do that now because of antibiotic resistance. Whereas antibiotics treatment can be more challenging because of drug resistance, antiviral is much more complicated because viruses are difficult to kill, even with antiviral medication.
And each one that comes around, a new one.
Yeah, and they got their own individual thing, and it's new, and it's really tough. That is, even though there is not a specific diagnostic laboratory test for the FIP version of coronavirus, that at least that part is not so difficult, because if you've got fluid, there's only so many things that are going to cause fluid in the abdomen of a cat.
Okay.
And this is probably the top of the list, but there are others.
All right.
The dry form, where you don't get fluid, is really difficult to diagnose because you don't know which organ it's going to go to. It could go to the nervous system and cause nervous system signs. It could be more generalized and cause them to lose weight and not do well and go to what Alec was talking about a minute ago, which is the cat doesn't feel well, and it's an enigma because you can't pinpoint it. And then, in addition to that, that being the case with, because I'm agreeing with you, Alec, with cats, so many things that make cats feel bad have to be diagnosed by laboratory tests. We depend a lot on laboratory tests for diagnosis of cat problems, and this is not one that we can use, because we don't have a dependable test. So if that cat has the dry form of FIP and it doesn't have fluid somewhere, you can really get hung out trying to figure out what's going on. Because you can't get a diagnosis.
The destination, you're not sure, is what I heard you saying?
Yeah.
Within the body.
Yeah, you can get, what I meant by that is you can have a cat with symptoms similar to other things.
Okay.
And you may have ruled those out. And you may suspect, even just because you know you can get this form of FIP, that's what it is, but you can't prove it. Because you can't get a definitive diagnostic test to indicate that.
Okay.
So remember I said this disease is infectious but not contagious.
Yeah.
So it's infectious because it is a virus.
Right.
But the reason it's not contagious is it mutates.
Okay.
So the feline enteric coronavirus that's there is contagious, and that can spread through cats a lot.
I see.
But you don't know which one of those viruses or in which cat the virus is going to mutate.
Because you don't have the tracking.
Well, there's no way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, when I say the tracking, you can't diagnose it. I'm saying you can't predict that.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
All right.
So if you have a cat that has this mutated version of the enteric coronavirus that's now FIP, it's not going to transmit the mutated form to another cat.
Okay. All right.
Now, you can transmit feline enteric coronavirus between cats, and some of them can mutate, but
the
you don't know
actual
which
original
ones.
Virus, right?
Right.
Okay.
You don't know which ones that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Once it gets mutated, at least this is our belief right now, it doesn't get spread in the mutated form. Stay tuned. Maybe we'll figure out something else on that.
And probably you don't even know, do these mutations, can they have mutations of their own? I mean, that's what's happening in, you
never
know.
Never say never, right?
Right. That's what's happening in SARS right now. So I just wondered. Anyway, that's kind of scary. What do you do? I mean, once you've diagnosed what it is.
Well, the problem with that part is there's no effective treatment for the disease.
My goodness.
And most of these cats eventually die. Now, the question is, is it going to be a real rapid process of how quickly the cat gets real sick?
Yeah.
And that's usually the case. But there are some of these cases where they're sick for a more chronic period of time, and all that may not happen right off the bat.
Right.
It's very difficult to deal with either way.
Fascinating discussion. One more thing that our pets can be prone to. We just need to know about it, and if we see it happening or have questions about it, take it to a veterinarian. Definitely.
If you see this happening and you don't know, then you can bring it to us and we can see it happen and we won't know. We'll all feel comfortable in
there
the same
you, at
situation.
At least in the same boat, right. Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, 4340 North Rhone Street in Boone's Creek. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Folks want to call, what's the number, Doc?
282-3771.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.